Hello and welcome to the Dyslexia Mom Boss Podcast, the show that helps you not only feel empowered and knowledgeable, but confident and a boss mom in the dyslexia journey. I'm your host, Dr. Lauren. Hello and welcome back to the Dyslexia Mom Boss Podcast. As you all know, I'm your host, Dr. Lauren, and I have a new guest today. Can you introduce yourself for all of us to know who are we speaking with today?
Yes. Hello, Lauren. I'm Gia Meiring. I am the mother of a dyslexic son. He's 22 right now, so I've been through the trenches with him, and still a little bit, but not as much. And I'm also the author of the book Hacking the Code, The Ziggity-Zaggity Road of a D-Kid, which is a book about a dyslexic elementary school kid, loosely based on our own experience with going through elementary school. But it's also a lot of things that I came up with because I heard it from other people, or just fun things, you know, like fun pranks and so on.
Yes, definitely. And we'll definitely have some time for you to plug your book, but I will say, Gia and I connected, I guess it's been maybe 2 years since we've connected, I think. And I remember you reached out to me asking if I was interested in reading your book. And I was so excited because when I did, I was like, this is just a book that every parent and kid needs to read.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that we'll get into the book in a little bit later in the episode, but I just have to say, like, I really enjoyed reading your book. It was very digestible, and teaching fourth and fifth grade students, it just really hits that spot.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so all of you that are avid listeners, or maybe this is your first time listening, I ask the same questions every interview because I just think it's so important for us, first of all, to not feel like we're in silos, to not feel like there are things that, is this just happening to me or whatever the case might be. So with that being said, let's dive right into the questions. Now, the first question, I fluctuate between a word or a phrase, because I know sometimes it's hard to just pick one word. But what yes. word or phrase would summarize your D-cubed journey with your son and why?
I found a word that came up to me right away that can have both a positive and a negative connotation, and that's perseverance.
Oh, I love that. Okay.
Because on the one hand, you have to push through. It's really hard. It's hard for the child to be dyslexic and to, you know, like come home with stomach aches and has to do homework every night, which is really terrible. And hard for the mom. In this case, I was much more involved than my husband. I'm speaking for myself.
Of course.
It's really hard too, because it's a really tough journey to see your child going through, and to also for yourself to realize that some things are just going different. Mm-hmm. And you anticipate it will be to have your child in elementary school. You need to adjust your expectations. You need to adjust your ideas and also advocate for them. And I got a lot of resistance. So it's hard. It's
right.
hard on both. It's hard on the family. It's also hard on siblings. So it's a matter of persevering. Pushing through, finding out what works, what doesn't work, finding the help, getting the help by really kind of demanding it almost.
Right, yeah.
And on the positive note, I think there are also positives on there, is that my son really learned, and of course I helped him with that, learned how to realize what he's good at.
Right, you know, his strengths.
What is it he enjoys and what is it he's good at? Because there were so many things that he, well, at school, there was a lot of things that he wasn't good at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we needed to find things that he really enjoyed or where he was really good at. And we found that through the journey, I think we emphasized that a lot more than you would if a child is not struggling in school that time.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that because you are a mom of an adult child, you can say the negatives and the positives because you're not right in the thick of like, he was just diagnosed and where's the light at the end of the tunnel. And so
yes.
I think that you bring a great wealth of knowledge to the moms that are listening to really give them that beacon of hope and light to be like, okay, what are my child's strengths? So let's delve in. What was your story? When was your son diagnosed? I know you said you had a demand. Did he have an IEP? Give us some of the background.
Yeah, well, in short, it was testing being denied.
Okay.
Testing privately, finding out he was totally dyslexic, testing again and getting an IEP. And then, you know, like the whole thing that goes on after that, you know, guiding him and getting him an IEP again. And
right.
It was a struggle. It was really a struggle. This is like, he's 22 now. So this is like, what, 17, 18 years ago that we started this journey?
Wow.
At that time, there wasn't as much information as there is now mm-hmm. on dyslexia, and certainly not a wealth of a treasure trove of information like you offer.
Right.
I had to really research, and I had to call tutors that were specialized in dyslexia. I called a school that was specialized in dyslexia. I researched the internet, but there weren't as many websites that are here.
Or Instagram. Think of that. There's a huge community of science of reading teachers, dyslexics. It's crazy to me to think you can go on Instagram and just find your people and resources. And that wasn't available 17 years ago.
That wasn't there. No. It's getting a lot easier, but it's probably also more overwhelming now because there is so much information. But it's really nice to find your community now. So it's easy to research and find it. But for me, it was a lot of research and teachers. His first grade teacher really wasn't aware of anything dyslexia. So she wasn't really on board with anything. And he got tested because we demanded it with a letter, you know, the whole thing mm-hmm. going in the elementary school process. And it was really daunting for me with the IEPs, with all the acronyms and 7 people at a table that are all
experts. That's intimidating.
And yeah. You think you're not the expert, but actually you are the expert because you know your child the best. But at that time, I didn't know that. And English is not my first language. So all the acronyms, it was just like...
It was overwhelming, right?
It was very overwhelming, yes. We later found out, not at that moment, but later we found out that his testing in first grade was a test that combined several scores together in one score. And then he was average because they combined mm-hmm. his high scores and his low scores.
And of course, that's going to equal average.
And that became an average.
Oh, wow.
So he was average.
Yeah, there's like, what's the problem? We don't need services. He's fine. Yes. Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
He wasn't very good at holding his attention, too. So they threw it on that. And they gave him some kind of list that every day he needed to fill out to keep attention. And it was a nightmare. It was terrible. But I was researching and I'm like, I'm not crazy. I see what's happening here. So we decided to have him privately tested mm-hmm. because the school wasn't really helping. And the private testing, well, clearly came out that he was dyslexic. There was no doubt about it. We were lucky to be able to do that, to pay for the private testing because it's expensive.
Right.
And with that testing, we went back to the school and said, okay, this is it. What are we going to do? And so we kind of put our fist on the table. But then the school had to test him again in second grade because right. they don't accept external testing. So they had to test him again, but this time they separated, you know,
the average thing,
working memory,
yeah.
phonemic awareness. They separated it all, and then they came to, well, they didn't say he was dyslexic because they weren't allowed to or they didn't want to. I'm not sure.
Right.
Then they called it a learning, what is it called?
Was it LD, learning disability?
Learning disability.
Yeah, because
yes.
that's one of the 13 categories under IDEA. And yes. you're in California, right?
Yes.
So it really could depend that technically, I think I read somewhere that schools in the United States can actually say dyslexia. It just depends on, like you said, if they want to or if they have the resources, if they're held liable. So, I mean, the fact that you had your private testing and showed it to them, they had to retest, but they couldn't do the bare minimum of like they did before because they realized you had information and you couldn't be duped again. So yeah. just hearing this process, I mean, it's so aggravating to know that this stuff is still happening now. And this was, you know, like you said, 17, 16 yes. years ago.
Yeah, so on my side, that was a difficult journey that took a lot of perseverance to push through that and to get all the no's from the school and just push through that. And luckily, his second grade teacher understood. Mm-hmm. And she was the big beacon in helping me get him an IEP. I'm still enormously grateful for her. So
yeah,
that helped him enormously. So he got an IEP, but then that's not the end of it because
of
he still needs to learn to read. And he was pulled out of class on a daily basis, which wasn't ideal too, because, you know, he was pulled out of class at moments that he couldn't miss it or he didn't want to miss it because it was something fun or he missed essential parts of the class while he was pulled out for remedial teaching. And at that time, I found it really hard to figure out if what they were doing was actually
working.
Effective.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know anything about reading programs and what is an Orton Gilligan program or not. I didn't know anything about that. What programs are they using? Is that actually helpful or not?
Mm-hmm.
And we figured out in third grade when he hit that wall, you know, like it switches from learning to read to reading to learn.
Right.
And he needed to write the paragraphs and pages, and that was going nowhere. That was really hard. And then in fourth grade, the class would be almost double in size. So we decided in third grade that the methods that they were using weren't working.
Right.
And luckily, we were in a place where there's a private school for dyslexic kids, 40 minutes drive.
Mm-hmm.
So we transferred him there, and he did the rest of his elementary and his middle school in that private school, which was a blessing because they really understood what they were mm-hmm. doing. They were teaching the Orton Gilligan way, and he felt that he was with peers that, you know, like
understood.
Were the same.
Yeah. Actually, that leads me to the next question, which I feel like I'm going to know your answer, but I want you to explain to the audience. Okay, so it's a two-parter, and I always have a social justice piece here because I do interview moms of color. And so obviously, those of you who follow me and know, I am a Black educator, but I do see themes with all parents. So, Gia, if you could share, what ethnicity is your son, and do you feel that he had an equitable journey receiving appropriate education?
Well, we're Caucasian, and you know, what would you understand under an equitable education? Because I'm not very familiar with the terminology.
Sure. I would definitely say the short answer is no, because if you're paying tax dollars to send your kid to public school and they are not testing them, they are not giving them the right accommodations, you have to fight with the teacher. And then if you have to then take your child to another school that you were then paying tuition, that's not equitable. And so yes, hearing the story, and I've heard these stories many times and I've seen it working in specialized private schools, there are so many parents that are like, the public schools weren't doing this. We had to find a school that could do that. And yes, some families can afford that while other families have to take out second mortgages or whatever the case is. So I just ask that question because I kind of already know the answers. I just want you all as moms to kind of have that camaraderie to know. Even if you are yes, Black, white, whatever, I mean, it's not equitable in so many different ways, whether you can financially afford it, you know, whatever it is. So I hope that yes, made better sense.
Yes, absolutely. And you kind of answered the question.
I did. Yeah. And I think the fact that you had to travel 40 minutes, I assume that's one way to get him
that's
to
one way.
Yeah, yes, to get him to school. That's yeah, a lot. But the thing that I've seen working at specialized private schools for kids with language-based learning differences, you know, it doesn't matter how much debt you're going into, it doesn't matter how many miles are put on your car. It's priceless to know that your child, first of all, their self-esteem is improved. They can read, yes, they can write. It's just a whole child approach that later yes, on you'll be like, man, those are some rough years, you know, getting out the door or paying tuition. But you know what? Now my child is thriving. And I think yes, that
self-esteem is a very, very big part of that.
Yeah.
Know, that was so important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So Gia, my last question, and then I want you to talk about your book, is what advice, since you are further along in the journey, can you give other moms yes, that are in the thick of it?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, persevere because you are your child's best advocate and never forget that, because no one else will do what you can do for your mm-hmm. child. So that's really, really important. I would say research. When you're starting on this journey, it's really tough, but as much as you research, you get an expert, and you know the people that will be sitting at the IEP table won't be. So find all the answers and research as much as you can. I would say be open to it. Be open about it.
Mm-hmm.
I found that in my community too. There's some parents that don't want to mention or don't want anyone to know
right.
that their child is struggling one way or the other. You know, that their child is either dyslexic or dysgraphic,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
ADHD. They don't want to have that label on their child. But I don't think it's a label. It's
right.
just a way of, yeah, everyone's different. And if you're open about it, I found it that the mommy underground, I think you know what that means, right? The mommy underground.
Elaborate, please.
You know, the mommy underground, when you wait at school for your kids to come out.
Oh, yeah. And so you're talking to other moms. Yeah.
Do you know where?
That's true.
About this?
I do love that.
Do you know about that? Or,
right.
And then the mommy underground came to me, you know, because I was vocal about it. I let people know, you know, like my child is struggling. He has dyslexia. People came and referred. Someone heard it and said, like, oh, you know, I have a friend and she has a child struggling. Can she talk to you at one point? I said, yeah, sure. Let her contact me. And so the mommy underground is really helpful
right.
in that way to find people in your community that are in the same boat or have questions about that. So I would say be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And find your community. You can find your community online too, of course.
Instagram.
right. But your own community is really important too, because they experience the same things at school, probably, with how school is dealing with it and how the district is dealing with it. So I think that's important. And I would say guide your child as much as you can from an early age to advocate for mm-hmm. themselves.
Yes.
To really have them understand why their brain works differently and that it's not a wrong thing, it's just a different thing.
It's just a difference.
And
right.
understand why they struggle with some things, but maybe they're good at other things. So both have a good understanding of your child, of their struggles, and also what they can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
What works better for them, you know, like speech to text maybe, or
right.
having the notes, but getting the notes from someone else, or that they listen, they get it better than if they have to write notes at the same time. And there's all kinds of things that, you know, like, if they know that that works better for them, they can apply it and
right.
teach from an early age as possible. Because I think it's for children, it's really important to know why something happens and why something is the way it is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think those are all great tips for moms that are anywhere in the journey. But I mean, I think you really hit on some things that moms that are really new that may not be thinking about the advocating part, not them advocating, but their child advocating. Like, that's huge. That's absolutely yeah. huge. Did you have one more you wanted to share?
Well, I talked about it a little bit, but trying to find things that they're good at.
Right. Come from a strengths-based approach.
And celebrate that. Maybe sports or something creative or something communicative, interpersonal. There's so many things. That's the journey too, to
yeah.
find out what they're good at and what they really like.
Yeah, and what they feel good about.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, what they feel good about. Yes.
Yeah. No, I agree with
for
that.
For these children, that's extra important to be able to find these things.
Yeah, definitely. We are coming to the end of our interview. And yes. Yeah, I want you to share with our audience, where can they find you? Where can they get your book? All of that good stuff. So give us some information on that.
Well, I'm on Instagram and Facebook with Hacking the Code, hacking.the.code, which is the title of my book, Hacking the Code, The Sacred Disability Road of a D-Kid. And the book is for sale on Amazon as a paperback, hardcover, and ebook, and also available as an audiobook at this moment on Audible.
Oh, that's awesome.
And also on Amazon. But very soon on a lot more platforms where you can buy audiobooks. So I definitely recommend the audiobook because, you know, dyslexic kids maybe don't want to read everything. There's a lot of illustrations in the book, but, you know, there's a lot of text too. Yeah, It's available on Amazon. You can find all the versions on Amazon for sure. So, and it's worldwide. So people in Australia or England or, you know, Japan or India, whatever, they can order it too. That's the beauty of the current day publishing.
Yes, yes. And it's geared towards fifth and sixth graders, correct?
Yeah, it's from third grade till beginning middle school.
Yeah.
You know, some kids really read a chapter book when they're in second grade already.
They do, right.
Start with that until middle school. So
it's a wide range. Yeah.
Wide range of ages. And also, I get a lot of comments from adults, from parents that are really enjoying it and really recognizing things in the book that they see with their own child or just see it as a fun book to read with children and really like the story and what it emphasizes and what it brings, which is everyone's different and we all have different strengths. And
that's
great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I highly recommend the book to anyone out there listening. So that will be in the show notes. All of Gia's information will be as well. So thank you so much, Gia, for this time that we got to spend together and for you to share your story, because I didn't know your story with your son. So it's always exciting to reconnect with people in the community and let them share their experiences. So thank you so much.
One note, maybe it's nice to hear what he's doing right now.
Go ahead, yes.
So my son's in college now, and he's in a technical college studying industrial design engineering.
Nice.
So he's a designer.
That's awesome. That is excellent. Yes. So yes, those moms.
You.
Yes. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much as well.